Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. My name is Kalila Pinkney Maddox, and we're tuning in live today from Chicago, Chi-Town City. Unfortunately, my dad is unable to attend today's show, and he's very upset about that. But he is now a political prisoner. We have our first guest today. Her name is Susan. Susan, you're on.
Thanks for doing this show. I really, for one, appreciate it. Reverend Pinkney had the experience of being surrounded. His house was surrounded here in Benton Harbor on Thursday. They had all kinds of law enforcement there, SWAT team, and you would have thought that, you know, this was like an international, you know, like serial killing criminal of some kind. So what did he do? He helped organize a recall petition drive, and they were successful. They got, you know, well over the number of signatures needed to recall the mayor of Benton Harbor, who is someone who is in the, let's say he is a whirlpool, should I use the word stooge? And that's what he was doing, and that's what got him this gigantic law enforcement circling around his house Thursday. We hope that there will be enough pressure for the country and the world to make him a free man ASAP. If you go to the blog, or I should say the website, bhbanco.org. That's B-H as in Benton Harbor, B-A-N-C-O.org. You will see some recent information about Reverend Pinkney. One thing you'll see is, all citizens have the civil right to recall an elected official or initiate a referendum by way of petition. This is our only outlet. Voter intimidation is any concerted effort or practice by an individual or group on behalf of a party or candidate to coerce the voting behavior of a particular class or race. Berrien County sheriffs are intimidating, harassing, and using Gestapo tactics to infringe on the civil rights of citizens of Benton Harbor. This has been going on, by the way, for over 2 months. These actions are federal crimes. This recall was legally sufficient in that it alerted all of the petition signers that we were recalling Benton Harbor's corrupt mayor, James Hightower. Hightower, in a desperation move, called in his buddies, Prosecutor Mike Sepik and Sheriff Bailey. They have been lying to residents using a dummy recall petition and the original recall petition to throw the recall signer off or to confuse them. This is just one of their tactics. And this investigation has lasted 3 months, actually. So it's 3 months, all because of a recall petition drive. Four young men have been murdered without any investigations in Benton Harbor. According to the Sheriff's Department, there was no foul play. Therefore, there are no investigations. I am thinking about asking the Russian President Putin to come in and solve some of the problems in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And that's signed Reverend Edward Pinkney. He will be able to be phoned after this report. He's under house arrest because he led a petition drive. Only in Benton Harbor, or I should say Berrien County, Michigan, can this happen anymore. One of the most corporate-controlled and racist areas of our country. If you desire to call Reverend Pinckney, his number is 269-925-0001. And visit the website, bhbanco.org. You can hear a very short audio tape of Mayor James Hightower. And I think that's about all I have to say.
Thank you, caller, but I've got to move on. And you have a great day.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you.
Our next caller we have online would be Belinda. Belinda, you're on.
This is Edward, actually.
Belinda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Kalia? Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? Hello?
Yes, Belinda.
You keep fading in and out. I don't know if we got a good connection or not, but I hope you can hear me. I just want to commend you on stepping up and doing an excellent job. I know that you are a real, true drum major for justice, just like your father, and that it's just time for, us to unite on a strong, united front and expose this kind of injustice that's been taking place, especially there in Benton Harbor. What I really feel strongly that the people need to know is that we have to, by all means necessary, organize and mobilize there in Benton Harbor, because this is a all-out attack against Pastor Pinckney, because he wants to help the people there because of what these powers that be has been doing to them and getting away with forever. We cannot stand idly by and allow these people to do whatever they want to do anymore. It has to stop, and it has to stop now. So we need drastic actions right now. We need people that are ready to organize and mobilize across this country to for everything to cease, and any type of government in Benton Harbor, anything that's going on there, I'm talking about cease and desist right now. We need to stop all operation in that, shut down that whole city until the U.S. attorney come in and investigate those corrupt people that are in office. I'm talking about the judges, all city government, lawyers, law enforcement, prosecutors, DA attorneys, whoever they may be. We're calling for a total cease and desist and desist right now. All operation. We want to shut down the whole city of Benton Harbor until we get some outside help or the U.S. attorney come in there with the U.S. marshals and investigate that. I'm talking about from Washington, D.C., because we don't trust nobody down there that's in government. We need to get a petition circulated right now that we want the whole city of Benton Harbor up under investigation. We have to do it now, because it's been blatant disregard, an all-out attack against the people there in Benton Harbor that's exercising their constitutional rights, because they know they're violating everybody's civil rights there right now, and it don't matter who you are or where you come from, those people want that city and they want control of it. Whirlpool, all the corporate entities that are backing and supporting this type of injustice that's been taking place there. So the people need to wake up and realize that they have the power. The courts belong to the people. And the people have to stand up and fight back now. And if they're not going to fight back, then they need to pack up and get out of there. Because it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these people intend to take over that city by any means necessary. Whirlpool and all of their imps has got their plan, and that's what they plan to do, and it's going to take something drastic of shutting the city down. All operations need to cease and desist now. So if the callers are out there and you listening, we need to start circulating a petition for a comprehensive investigation on the city of Benton Harbor government, law enforcement, judges, DA, courts, every government entity in that city need to be up under investigation. And that's the bottom line, because we're not going to tolerate what they're trying to do to Pastor Pinckney all over again. They know good and well this man have not done nothing. They got criminals out there, and matter of fact, they are the real criminals that's sitting up there behind these on these benches in these robes, walking around with these badges in these uniforms. They are the real criminals. There's no doubt in my mind that racketeering is taking place in a conspiracy to take over the city of Benton Harbor and do whatever they have to do, even if you got to find dead people on the side of the road. They're going to do whatever they have to do to take that city over. The people are going to have to do something now. And they have the power to do it. Everybody organized. Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm still here, Belinda. I'm listening.
Girl, I thought I was talking to dead air. You know, it's time for the people to organize. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't pay another bill, water bill, gas bill, electric bill, rent. Don't go to none of the stores there. If you have to go out to South Bend and grocery shop, don't spend another dime in that city until we get justice. We are demanding a total blackout and a total shutdown, a cease and desist right now in the city of Benton Harbor until the people there get justice. This is wrong, and they know for a fact that all they want to do is do the same thing that they did when Glenn Yarbrough was recalled. In the process of trying to hinder the vote of the people for recalling him so that they can keep him in the seat long enough, just long enough, so that they can give away the lakefront property, Gene Clark Park. I'm talking about a gold mine, people, so that they can get it passed so that they can take that away from the people of Benton Harbor. And that's the same thing in the case of Mayor Hightower. These people are wicked. We're dealing with wicked, evil people. A and we're going to call their names. We're going to expose them. Mayor Hightower, the DA, the judge, all the judges that sit over there in Barron County. We have to expose these people. It's time. They put their faces on T-shirts, put their faces on posters, put their faces on signs, and let the whole world know about what's going on in the city of Benton Harbor. I want anybody and everybody that know about the city of Benton Harbor to tell everybody you know to support Pastor Pinckney. This man have stood up over and over again, and he is a real true fighter. He's not going to give up. We need to support and get all the attention in the whole world, make all the noise we possibly can, and support this man and his family with all the resources necessary for him to defeat this ugly, wicked giant in the city of Benton Harbor. These are cruel and evil people that we're dealing with, and they will do whatever they have to do for money, for the, it's greed, people. These people are money hungry, and they are evil, power hungry. It's all about greed and banishment of the people there in the city of Benton Harbor. This is wrong, and it has to be exposed. Thank you.
I want to thank you, Belinda, for that comment earlier. All right, and we have our next caller coming in, which will be Ralph.
Yep.
Hello, Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am here, and I want to talk about what this is about. But I would like to begin with the missing dynamic in this whole situation, and the missing dynamic is Reverend Pinckney himself. We have to demand instantly that he be released from his cell of silence. This is what this is about, to silence those who bring truth to the people. And the truth tellers have always been oppressed in this history, and I'm going to go back to Jesus Christ who told truth. I'm going to go to Socrates, John Brown, and I'm going to bring it to Lynn Stewart. All of these people who told truth were jailed because they wanted to silence them. Silence them from doing what? Silence them from educating the people. And we must remember who Reverend Pinckney is. He is the one who sounded the clarion call against the corporate takeover of America when he had the boycott against Whirlpool, a corporation. And we must remember who the corporations are and who they have always been, because we must remember that America was started by trading companies. For what? For profit. What did they do? Genocide. They killed. What did they do? They enslaved. What did they do? They silenced. And Reverend Pinckney is just the last of those they are attempting to silence. So our first demand must be free Reverend Pinckney from his cell of silence, house arrest. We must remember that it was George Bush and his first election, so-called election to the presidency of the United States, when he stole the election in Florida. He discounted the black vote in Florida, therefore disenfranchising all the black people of the nation. When they can loop off the top of your votes and say, these votes don't count, therefore you have lost your voting power. And in the second election, they did the same thing in Ohio. And while Reverend Pinckney was there trying to educate us, saying that it is not only there, it's coming to you next, we did not listen, for had we listened, this situation could never have happened. It was Reverend Pinckney who told us the fiscal emergency managers were coming to the rest of the country. They just started in Benton Harbor, and we didn't listen. And then it's in Detroit. And now we hear they may only lose 20% of their pensions as opposed to 30% of their pensions, and people call that a victory. And that is not where they're going to stop. They are moving across this country until we, the people, stop them. And how do we stop them? Well, the first thing we do, as you had mentioned, don't buy a thing in Benton Harbor. As Reverend Pinckney had started his boycott against Whirlpool and bought Whirlpool to the knees, because it is a national struggle. It is not just Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor is the template. They are going to steal everything. All across this nation, we are suffering from privatization. And without getting too deep into how we're suffering from privatization around the country, I use that to only say that around the country, we must all become involved in this struggle as if it were our own struggle, because it is our own struggle. We must, first of all, boycott everything Benton Harbor, not only Whirlpool, everything Benton Harbor. We must talk about what has happened to those who speak out in the history of America. They locked them up. They put them in jail. They put them into house arrest. No internet, no email. What is that about? That is about gagging them to stop them from speaking to us. And we must get the message out. And we must also say, where are the lawyers? We know what they do. They put Lynn Stewart in jail because she was a lawyer helping the people. I want to hear from the lawyers. I want to hear from their strategies. I want to talk, use the words such as the conspiracy, RICO conspiracy, corrupt organizations, what is that? Conspiracy, racketeering, and corrupt organizations. Who are the racketeers? They are the DA. They are the prosecutors. They are the judges. They are the mayor. They are Whirlpool. This is a RICO conspiracy. Racketeering influence and corrupt organization. This is a racketeering influence and corrupt organization, and we must carry that to the prosecutor, the head prosecutor of the United States, the American Attorney General. This is election fraud on behalf of the people in control of the election. Talking about the people who want to bring truth and overturn those elections. This is an investigation that we must warn them. This is where we're going. We must carry this as a problem of government, and that we must be aware that when we call Washington, we are not getting a friend. When we call Washington, we are getting someone to cover up what their constituents around the country are doing. So while we demand of Washington to come in and apply their laws justly, their racketeering influence and corrupt RICO laws, they must apply them, but this is merely an education for the rest of us as we begin to boycott everything Whirlpool or Benton Harbor, because that is what is behind this. They're controlling and taking land and using it for their own benefit, disenfranchising people, the idea of refusing to pay bills. There must be a way that lawyers can come up with a formula to say nobody should pay bills to this corrupt organization, just like a rent strike. Pay no bills. Shut this city down. Give it not only American or national attention, but international attention where this government is going. And we must release Reverend Pinckney now. He must be able to get back on his internet, to go to his phone, to make public speaking, to be away from house arrest. Because I remember the old song that we sing, we religious people sing, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, I say, no, I wasn't there, because were I there, they would have had to come back the next day because three soldiers would not have been enough to crucify. And here we are, sitting back, allowing them to crucify those people who speak out on our behalf. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to tune into the website that has been set up? D.H. Stankel. Get our information, send our funds to support this struggle, and read everything that must be read, to shut down everything that must be shut down, to refuse to pay bills to any organization that is a part of a RICO conspiracy. No, we will not be hounded or frightened by the acts. We will not be intimidated by this phony government. We will not be extorted by this phony government, because we, the people, have been driven far enough. This is the bridge beyond. We're going to stand up and make the world pay attention. Free Reverend Pinckney now. Dial in to B.H. Banco. We have to have new elections, but Reverend Pinckney must be out of this confinement to lead this struggle to have no elections. Buy nothing. Support no one. Support everything that supports Reverend Pinckney, and we must do it more than with words. These are our demands. Free Reverend Pinckney immediately. We will pay no bills until he's out there. We have already stopped buying from Whirlpool. We will stop buying from everybody. And we must sound a clarion call to every organization, to people who will listen, that it is, remember the words of Reverend Pinckney, they have just begun there. It is not only the struggle of Whirlpool or the struggle of Reverend Pinckney and Benton Harbor. It's the struggle of us all. We have been there. We have done that. We have seen this. We, the people, must put a stop to it. I look forward to listening to the rest of the program. I want to read what the lawyers are saying. I want lawyers to be Lynn Stewart's, to stand up and speak out on behalf of their clients. They are the ones that have been assigned the task of defending the rights of the people and keeping the government's nose to the grindstone on what the law is. We must read that on the website tomorrow. We must read what our actions have to be tomorrow. We cannot allow this government to hide behind the nonsense of election fraud. And this is the man who questioned the elections. And how is it that the man who questioned the elections, who has once a recall, who questions the honesty of elected officials, finds himself in jail? This is a question for all of us. And the answer must be, we will not tolerate that. We will have him out. Thank you for the time. I will be in constant contact with you. Reverend Pinckney, you have my number. We will coordinate and organize this struggle across this nation. The first, Free Reverend Pinckney, second, to investigate the conspiracy, the RICO conspiracy, racketeering, influence, corrupt organization, the conspiracy against the people of Benton Harbor. Thank you again. This is Ralph Pointer in New York.
Thank you, Ralph, for calling in.
And I.
Our next caller, we have Mary. Mary, are you here?
His daughter. Hello.
Hello.
This is
How
Mary
are you, Mary?
Neal. I'm so glad to talk to you. Is Reverend Pinckney under court order to not speak?
Yes, that is true. He's not obligated
so
to use any internet source.
Oh, so he's under court order not to speak on the internet?
Yes.
I see. So, you know, they've done this to Reverend Pinckney before. So now he's under court order not to talk to his public, not to explain why he's arrested, not to explain why he does not have the rights of this country, of the citizens of America. We have First Amendment rights, but those rights were never intended for Africans in America. I tell you that. They were never intended for Africans in America. So, Reverend Pinckney has a court order that keeps him from being able to address his guests on the Reverend Pinckney Show. But I tell you something, lots of people have invisible court orders. They cyberstalk people to keep them from speaking their minds. They send intimidators, COINTELPRO agents, to keep people from speaking their minds. They do not intend for any African-Americans, except those who are paid for by the system, those who have been bought. Those are the only ones that they really ever want to speak on this mass media that we have, that we the people have in the internet. And I'm not surprised that he's under court order to be quiet, because they know that that was an unlawful arrest of my Reverend Pinckney that they carried out. They knew it was an unlawful arrest. You know, you're not afraid for people to speak when they don't have anything to say. I once wrote a message. It said, does America engage in censorship? And the answer is only if there is something to hide. Only if there is something to hide. You know, another man was censored, and he was under court order not to speak. And that was the man who they executed here in the state of Georgia. That was a man who the whole world stood against his execution, including the Pope, including former President Jimmy Carter, including Bishop Tutu and all of them, Mandela. That was a man that they executed here in the state of Georgia, and they didn't want him to talk either, because whenever they're doing these evil, underhanded things to African Americans, they don't want us to talk about it. And so now Reverend Pinckney is under court order to shut up about his persecution and shut up about the other people's persecution in Benton Harbor, who are overwhelmingly African Americans. And my friends who are Caucasian know I do not say these things because I am prejudiced, because I am a person who is preparing to live with my Father God and his Son Jesus Christ. And I know that they made all life. And they offer everyone the opportunity to come to them and be saved. So I believe in everyone having equal justice. And I certainly do not appreciate these people arresting Reverend Pinckney for doing his job. Reverend Pinckney was arrested for being what God the Father appointed him to be. God the Father said to all of us that we are to stand for the poor and oppressed, and we are to object to anyone being executed. Reverend Pinckney brought out the fact that people have been executed in Benton Harbor. They've been finding bodies in the lakes of black young men. they found someone with his penis castrated. And no matter how many black people, and I think there have been over 5 who have been killed there in the last 2 or 3 years, none of the deaths have met with arrest of anybody. And so Reverend Pinckney objects to these lynchings. Reverend Pinckney objects to the sale of public land for private enterprise. Reverend Pinckney objects to, like you say, racketeering practices out of the elected officials and the appointed officials there in Benton Harbor. He does this because the Bible told him to. Proverbs 31:8-9 also told you to stand up for the poor and oppressed and everyone who is appointed to destruction. And yet we have Christians in churches around there who will not even come on this radio show and speak a word of objection on Reverend Pinckney's behalf, a fellow minister who is doing the word of God. These people want to talk to us about the great exploits of Jesus Christ and his disciples that happened 2,000 years ago, but they will not pick up their cross and follow him. And so I say to you, hypocrites, woe unto hypocrites, woe unto hypocrites. Jesus Christ is not impressed by your hypocrisy, nor is he fooled by it. So one day, you too will stand before the Father, and he will say to you, where were you when they persecuted my son, Edward Pinckney? Where were you when they arrested him for speaking out against cruelty, against lynchings of black people, against corporate takeovers of government? Where were you when he stood up and spoke out and got arrested? They will say to these hypocritical Christians, where were you? Where were you? They were the same place they were when Jesus Christ was being crucified. They were not raising objections to those Roman soldiers because they were afraid of the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers were some of the best equipped soldiers on the face of the earth. They were the power at the time. But where are the Roman soldiers now? Where are they now? That whole civilization was struck down. That whole civilization came to an end, as all civilizations must when they are being occupied. They're occupying the people of God. Every power that rises up against God and his people shall be struck down. And so those people who have placed a court order of silence against Reverend Pinckney to keep him from saying the things that have happened to him last week, that he was arrested after sponsoring a successful recall against a corrupt mayor, those people feel like they're kind of victorious today. But they met Reverend Pinckney, and they met a few of his associates, and they also see that they have their foot on the neck of a lot of ministers who should be raising up in protest today, but they haven't met his God and his full power. Oh, you don't know. You don't have the last word here on this planet Earth, because God the Father has the last word. And we who believe in God the Father do not come to you from a standpoint of fear, because God the Father says, fear not, but I am with you. And so therefore I say to you, Reverend Pinckney doesn't have to say it, I say it to you. Release Reverend Pinckney. Honor his First Amendment and his human right to speak and express himself. Honor that. And also know that your corruption is not going without notice. It might be authorized in Washington, D.C. for the state of Michigan, not just Benton Harbor, not just Detroit, but the state of Michigan. I want you to know the whole thing is being talked about and written about as being sold to the Chinese. I want you to know that. Look up Michigan and China. So the thing is that as Americans' rights are compressed and deleted, I want you to know that there's another people who are preparing to take over certain areas, including Michigan, including parts of Idaho, including a lot of it. Right now, Mississippi River is full of fish that Asians eat, and they're eating up the fish that American people normally eat. Every time they build a new community, they're sure to put in a lot of bike paths. Who in America runs around on bicycles very much enough to excuse all these millions of dollars that are being spent on bicycle paths? I think they're getting all of us used to having less rights because there's something they plan. But Reverend Pinckney is on the forefront of being against these plans, these takeovers, and if it was honest, if what is being done was honest, if what was being done was lawful, what difference would it make if one little Baptist preacher rose up against it, if it was honest and upright, if it could stand daylight? These things are to be hidden because they can't stand daylight. And so I ask you, whose side are you on? Are you on God's side? I want you to know that when that question was asked in the Holy Bible, the ones who refused to come over and be on God's side were immediately struck dead by an earthquake. Oh, man didn't have to strike them down. God struck them down. You either get on God's side or you prepare yourself to meet him as a sinner. And so that's the last thing I have to say about that. I am very disgusted at all of these ministers who should be standing and rallying around Reverend Pinckney for doing the word of God and not just talking about it. They should be giving weekly donations to a man who will stand up in the place of God. You know, Jesus died, and he said to us that, look, pick up your cross daily and follow me. He died for us, and we're supposed to live for him. But how many people are doing that? These preachers on the government payroll, yes, they're preaching messages that are acceptable to their bosses. They may not say anything to you about Reverend Pinckney today, but I will say to you that Reverend Pinckney is doing the work of God, and God will have the last say in how this thing turns out. And I wish you well, daughter, for taking Reverend Pinckney's place today, and God bless you and all the people who spoke on the program. And whether or not we agree with every word out of Reverend Pinckney's mouth, even those who vehemently disagree with the words out of his mouth, we are in the United States of America, and people have a right to freedom of expression. Else, go ahead and say it's a Nazi country. If people do not have freedom of expression in the United States, whether you agree with what they or not, then go ahead and just call
Thank you, Mary, so much for coming in today. All right, we have Ken on our next line. Let me see. Is he here? Hello, Ken, are you there? Hello, Ken?
Hello?
Hello, Ken?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello? Hello, Ken? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you for calling the show.
Okay. I'm going to talk about all these big churches that Reverend Pinckney's out here. He don't just need our support. He needs our financial support. There's all these big churches that they got plenty of money. They need to step up and pay and give $25,000 so we can fight these crimes that they're doing to Reverend Pinckney. Because today it's Reverend Pinckney. Maybe not tomorrow, but down the road it's going to be you. So So if any of them are listening, you better be willing to give financial support to Reverend Pinckney and get this corruption stopped, because the whole world is going to, they're bringing the whole world down. It ain't just Reverend Pinckney they're going to bring down. They're going to bring all of you down. I don't care if you got $100 million. They're going to bring everybody down with this corruption. It's designed that way, and that's the way they're going. And all this mayor, he thinks he's on the winning team. He's going to find out when this is over what winning team he's on. But we got movie stars. We got big mega churches that's got plenty of money. They all need to be getting behind Reverend Pinckney right now, because it's going to be you next. And now I'm going to let Dave Brinsko come on. And Dave, you there, go ahead and speak for a few minutes.
Yes, I believe, now this is Reverend Pinckney's daughter, correct? I think I met you when we were at the that function in October. So I don't know if you remember me or not, but what I like to talk about is this is much deeper. Can you hear what I'm saying? Because it sounds like we're getting cut off here.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, this goes much deeper. This goes much deeper than the mayor. It goes much deeper than anything that we can imagine right now. And I believe that your dad is on the cusp. It's a very pivotal moment in time, you see, because they're trying to shut him up. They're trying to shut a lot of people up. They're trying to take our eyes off the real problem. Okay, this is a problem. What I'm going to speak on is very crucial, and I'm not here to make anybody believe anything. I'm just going to let you know that I've researched this for 31 years, and all these things that are going on right now is happening for a reason, okay? And by that, I'll say this. I'm going to read just one little thing here, a couple little things, actually. I'm reading from a National Institute of Justice. This is the lab portion of the FBI. And this is a 1993 research and brief from the National Institute of Justice. And what they were doing in 1991, 92, they were convening, okay, a meeting of law enforcement professionals, okay? These are experts that were brought in at all levels, and it involved very high-level individuals in correctional institutions, from the state, the county. Local agencies were pulled in, the police chiefs, SWAT commanders, narcotics detectives, and deputy sheriffs. Now, what's going on with the deputy sheriffs is very, very crucial, okay, because they're using the deputy sheriffs, they're using the sheriff department, okay, as a plausible deniability, okay, because people, like every county, okay, we have some 3,077 counties across the United States of America, and every county is represented by a sheriff department. And the Department of Defense, as well as the National Institute of Justice, realized this a long time ago. The Sheriff Department is the oldest law enforcement agency in the world. You can read about it in the third chapter of Daniel in the book of the Bible. So my point in all this is that they use them to create plausible deniability. And what they've done at these meetings in 91 and 92 is they drew the Sheriff Department in, because they operate off a system called the GWEN system. It's called the Ground Wave Emergency Network, okay? They've been using it beyond the Cold War. That's been around for a long time. What happens here is that the Ground Wave Emergency Network, okay, these are microwave towers, okay? And these towers, they leased out the bottom of the towers for cell phone use and this and that, but the top of the towers are being used by law enforcement. And they're able to reach from one end of the United States to the other. And what's happened here is that they are locking in, okay, through electromagnetic technology. It's better known as information warfare, okay? It sounds like something out of the Star Wars, but the bottom line is it's been around for four decades. In fact, J. Edgar Hoover talked about it. And originally they thought they were going to use it for crime, you see, but they don't want it for crime. They want it as a control mechanism, and your dad is just on the cusp of bringing this stuff out. And they're not only ticked off about the mayor, because the mayor is dirty, more than likely, okay? And obviously the sheriff's department is very dirty, okay? All across the nation there's a lot of dirty sheriffs, but there's a lot of good sheriffs, okay? And Martin Luther King, he talked about the good people, okay? He said that, you know, that it wasn't the strident clamor of the bad people that was holding things up, but the appalling silence of the good people. We need the good sheriffs to come in, okay, and let people know what they're working with, that they've received technology from the Defense Department, from the National Institute of Justice, which is the FBI, and they're using this technology against U.S. citizens, okay? People don't even realize the magnitude of this technology. They have no idea, okay? What they have to do, being that this is an election year, they have to go to these places like the League of Women Voters are going to be sponsoring. They're going to be sponsoring debates between the sheriff and the candidates run against the sheriff. And if the sheriff is not running, then they've got to go to the people, okay, the legislators. And they have to let the legislators know that are also running for office in each and every county exactly what's going on. We want to know about the technology, how it's being used, okay, in the sheriff department, okay? And we want to know because eventually – when this blows, okay, there's other technologies out there besides the one they're using, information warfare. We'll call it information technology. It's all the same. Dennis Kucinich spoke about it. Senator John Glenn brought it out. He said that it was being used on people, and they had no idea. And so that's the reason why he did a bill in Senate before he left the Senate. S-193, Dennis Kucinich, he's also left the Congress, okay? He did H.R. 2977. They came out, they spoke out about this technology because they knew that it was going to be abused. It's been abused for the last 30 years. And I truly believe the reason behind the sheriff, they don't want just – they're not concerned about the mayor as much as they are the technology that they possess. And most of the good sheriffs keep their mouths shut because they know, okay, that information warfare or information technology has been used and abused, maybe not by them, okay, but they can't come out and speak out about it. They can't – I mean, just think about this. This is – I'm just going to give you just a little – just one little thing, okay? And this is from – a lawsuit that was presented by an NSA analyst by the name of John St. Clair Acquis, okay? And he said, okay, without act with the subject, you, me, your children, these little pedophile people that are working for our government, okay, without any contact with the subject, remote neural monitoring can map out the electrical activity from the visual cortex of the subject's brain and show images from the subject's brain on a video monitor. NSA operatives see what the surveillance subject's eyes are seeing. Visual memory can also be seen. RNM, or remote neural monitoring, can send images direct to the visual cortex, bypassing the eyes and the optic nerves. The NSA operatives can see this surreptitiously to put images into a surveillance subject's brain while they are in REM sleep, okay, deep sleep. Right now we're in action, okay, we're in beta. The next level is alpha. The next level after that is theta, and then deep sleep delta, okay? They figured this is all scientific stuff, but it's not rocket science. We have to wake up. We have to realize what's going on here, okay? And this is what the sheriff departments are about. They're sitting back. They have three shifts. They got a shift from 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, from 3 in the afternoon till 11 o'clock at night, from 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning. Three separate shifts of a circle, inner circle of individuals who have been trained originally by the National Institute of Justice, okay? Now it's been going on so long that the people that were trained, okay, and within the sheriff department, when they before they retire, they get a whole new crew in there. And this has been going on for 30-plus years, okay? People have to wake up, okay? And it's not just about black people. I understand what Mary was talking about. This is about everybody, although I have dealt with people like Dan Rather. Dan Rather went through it. He left. I mean, this is so – they want to reach everybody that they can reach to see how far they can go. If anybody figures this stuff out, automatically something happens to them. I work with a lady by the name of Barbara Dean Jackson. She was a social scientist from Tuskegee Institute. She's passed away now. She was right on the cusp of bringing this stuff out. She worked with a lady, Abiola Sinclair, from the Amsterdam News. She brought it out. Everybody said, oh, They just couldn't hardly believe this stuff, okay? But the bottom line is it's not science fiction anymore. It's for real. This is for real. And people have to wake up. All these things that are happening in the Bundy Ranch, all these things that are happening to your dad, they're trying to shut America up. And we got to wake up and we got to take America back. And this is what it's all about. If I told you what's going on right now with me, you would flip. But the bottom line is it's happening all over the United States.
Dave, let me give out Reverend Pinckney's address here. Everybody needs to send all the money you can afford it. I know everybody's in hard times, but you need to send it to Reverend Everett Pinckney, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. I'm going to give that out again. Reverend Everett Pinckney, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Because I was down in Nevada the other day. It was Bundy Ranch. Now they're going after, and that was 600,000 acres. Now they're going after a Texas ranch. They didn't get their way in Nevada, but they'll be back. They don't give up. They keep coming at us, and we got to keep coming right at them. Now they're going after a ranch in Texas. It's got 90,000 acres, and the man holds a deed. And a property deed and everything, they've been paying tax on it for 100 years. Now they're trying to take this 90,000 acres. Everybody's got to wake up because this ain't just about Reverend Pinckney. It's about what they're going to do to all of us. So we got to get behind Reverend Pinckney with money. And I'm telling everybody, even these big churches that think they're on the winning team, you're not going to be on the winning team before this is over. They're going to bring everybody down. And that's Reverend Everett Pinckney, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. A political prisoner. We need to get him released. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kim, for that. We have our next caller. Her name is Gloria. Gloria, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. Greetings, everyone. And I was so sorry to hear of Reverend Pinckney's plight, but injustice never rules forever. We must keep that in mind. It never rules forever. Judge Jeanine was very upset about what went on, so she feels that she needed to throw out a few names or a name that needed to be in prison. Judge Jeanine hands Dirty Harry Reid a well-deserved stomping for calling Americans domestic terrorists while cancer patients he was calling them liars. The judge even gives Harry a new nickname, Dirty Harry, and breaks down the land-grabbing reasons Reid should probably be in prison rather than helping to run America straight into the ground. This is one of the best takedowns of Harry Reid that we have seen in the mainstream media, and it must be watched on TV for those who still believe Harry is anything but dirty. I had an opportunity to listen to Empress P's line last night on her blog radio, and 100 black lawmakers from New York, they called out for your support, to support Pinckney in any way you possibly can. They just had awesome accolades of a wonderful individual and all the hard work that he does and it continues to do. When I heard of this, when the call came to me, the first person I called was Eric Holder. His number is 202-514-2001. And you can call every day, all day, and leave messages on his comment line. So for evil to triumph in our world, it takes a few good people to do absolutely nothing. So I want to thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for being one of those people that does something. Thank you for listening, everyone. Peace and free the land. I'm done.
Thank you, Gloria. We have another caller on the line. We have Dorothy.
Hello. Hello, Dorothy, are you there? Okay, it looks like Dorothy is not on the line with us. Let's hear from Rozzy. Rozzy, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I am saddened for Reverend Pinckney's plight, but I rejoice that God is going to turn this around for his glory. And this makes all of us know that they are not just going after black people. They're going after white people and Latinos and Asian people, all of us. Being here in California, where it's okay at Los Angeles Unified School District to kill off injured teachers by paying off doctors, lawyers, and judges, that our governor, the governors of each of these states, could pick up the phone and change things in a minute. So each of us have to unite together and stand up. Reverend Pinckney is a special man that God has anointed to stand up and do this. Proverbs 31:9, to speak up for the poor and needy. And all of us in this country have become the poor and needy because they are destroying our country. They are destroying our rights and our freedoms. And we thank the good Lord for Reverend Pinckney. And I ask that each one of you out there pray for strength for him, for safety, that God quickly sends the right people into his life to help him. The financial blessings become a windfall. That more and more people hear about what's going on with Reverend Pinckney, and they will all stand up and join the cause for a free government with all our rights given back, for schools with our school children, all of them, mind you, with the proper education so they don't end up in prisons, which is a business in itself. And we just ask God, we ask all of you to keep this in prayer. I thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for giving me this incredible, blessed opportunity to speak up. So I ask each one of you to raise your voice, whatever you can do, email, call, spread this. We must stand up to save ourselves. And also, I cannot get downstairs because I slipped and fell and was in the emergency room. But each one of us, if you can email, if you can send money, just a few dollars, anything to help him, but keep praying for Reverend Pinckney, his family, and our country, and our children for a wonderful future. And I thank you for doing this, the radio show today. There wasn't anybody who really cared to get my case out or the other cases I've heard over the years, and the truth. The truth will set us all free, and we are going to have our freedoms back. And everybody needs to put God back in the center of our lives and work with God's love and his caring about each one of us. So I thank you for this time.
Is all Reverend right, thank King, you, Roz.
How's your father
Hello?
Doing? How's your father doing?
He's doing wonderful. You know, he doesn't let anything keep him down. He's a man that keeps on fighting.
Okay, well, we're going to pray. We all want to be Reverend Pinckney's. God has anointed him, and we want some of that on our lives, all of it, so we can stand strong with him, united. So thank you.
All right, and thank you for calling also, Rozzy.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm going to take calls from the public now.
Caller, this is Edward.
Are you on?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And what's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Edward. I'm on the show every week, actually. And I'm going to be calling afterwards. I need to speak to Reverend Pinckney on his legal strategies and how we can put every one of those people on a witness list and write up some criminal affidavits, see if we can get something to base a legal maneuvers on and, you know, We can present and bypass the district attorney and go right to the grand jury, actually, with a proper criminal affidavit and witness list with all of the mayor and his wife on it, because she's an accessory after the fact as well. But I speak on in particular, and I had something planned. I didn't know this happened with Reverend Pinckney right now, and we need to see what we can do about getting him this situation lifted. I have a little something I'm going to read from Natural News. I speak on health issues in particular. So I'm going to talk about the deadly MERS virus spreading out of control in Saudi Arabia, leaps to Egypt as global pandemic begins. This is Saturday, April 26, 2014. Now, that was yesterday. So, Natural News. It has long been recognized by intelligent observers that a global superbug pandemic is inevitable. Humanity has created the perfect conditions for it. Global nutritional deficiencies, weakened immune system, high population density, high-speed international travel, and systemic abuse of antibiotics by medical professionals, drug-resistant superbugs like MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome is what it stands for, are 100% immune to every conventional medical treatment that's known in Western medicine. Oh, boy. Hold on one second. There we go. There is no antibiotic, no vaccine, no drug, and no treatment practiced by Western medicine that can stop these bugs. And infections are deadly. Now we've learned they're spreading out of control in Saudi Arabia following an explosive pandemic pattern that has infectious disease experts sounding the alarm. Ian McKay, and associate professor at the Australia Infectious Disease Research Center at the University of Queensland, is now warning about where this might be headed. Over the last 30 days, MERS cases in Saudi Arabia have exploded from just 1 to 3 per day to over 10 per day, showing a worrisome trend. MERS is a particularly nasty disease for those who already have a disease that is chronic, writes Ian McKay on his blog. These include diabetes, kidney disease, heart disease, hypertension, lung disease, obesity, malignancy, and those who smoke or use steroids. An alarming 140 cases have been found in April alone, and more MERS cases have been reported so far in 2014 than during the entire year of 2013. The following chart shows an alarming trend in the cumulative number of MERS infections, with a sharp spike in cases being reported in mid-April. So things are moving seriously along right now. Okay, healthcare workers increasingly infected, 7% death rate reported. According to data analysis by McKay, healthcare workers are also being infected, an astonishing 7% are dying from those infections. This is from McKay's blog. Healthcare workers numbers have risen sharply during the April outbreak to a total of 84 detection, 7% of whom have died. Deaths among healthcare workers now represent 1.6% of all MERS COV positive deaths. This jump in healthcare workers' detections has been fueled by the Jeddah outbreak, but also by the parallel healthcare workers cluster among paramedics in the UAE. Two as yet completely unexplained events. When healthcare workers are infected, they tend to increase the spread of disease by inadvertently infecting patients. This is why hospitals can quickly become extremely dangerous places during any outbreak. It's where you're most mostly likely to get infected. Hospitals, in essence, become hubs that spread the disease and multiply the pandemic. This is exactly what has been observed in Ebola outbreaks, by the way. Okay, MERS has now spread to Egypt. The LA Times is now reporting that MERS has spread from Saudi Arabia to Egypt. State television said Saturday that the country's first case has been discovered. It said the patient, who was hospitalized in Cairo, had recently traveled to Saudi Arabia, where the virus was first identified. So now we have the first documented case of MERS crossing borders and becoming an international superbug. It's only a matter of time before visitors to Saudi Arabia carry this superbug to other nations. Western medicine is utterly helpless against MERS. What's especially alarming about the spread of MERS is that all the tools of Western medicine, drugs, vaccines, surgery, are completely and utterly useless against MERS and many other superbugs. So when patients get infected and go to the hospital, those hospitals have nothing to offer them except perhaps exposure to other superbugs that are now running rampant across hospitals. Half of all hospital rooms are infected with superbugs, and superbugs are now killing 48,000 patients a year in the USA alone. Deadly superbugs are even sweeping California hospitals and nursing homes. Western medicine hospitals are beholden to drug company interests, so they refuse to recognize or prescribe treatments that aren't patented by drug companies. This means hospitals will refuse to prescribe herbal treatments that can block MERS infections, such as the minor blue-green dragon formula, which contains a highly effective anti-pandemic ingredient that has been outlawed by the FDA. Isn't that nice? The Food and Drug Administration, again, outlaws things that actually work. Now, I do know things that work to get rid of these superbug flus. They work simply and naturally, but it is not expressed in mainstream medicine. I've been taught this by individuals. Okay. Western medicine will kill millions in the next pandemic. As this infection spreads globally, people who rely solely on Western medicine will die en masse. Victims of a system of medicine which oppresses and even outlaws competing systems of medicine that offer far more effective solutions for pandemic defense. Those who embrace more diverse systems of medicine, such as traditional Chinese medicine, will have anti-pandemic remedies readily available. These remedies actually contain powerful medicinal compounds which have been synthesized by plants rather than by laboratories. Anyone who discounts the power of natural herbal medicine is flatly ignorant. As much as 25% of Big Pharma's drugs are originally derived from medicinal plants in the first place, then modified to be patentable. Statin drugs, for example, were modeled after the natural lovastatins originally discovered in red yeast rice. I'm almost at the end. Okay, as the next global pandemic spreads, Western medicine's monopolistic rejection of natural remedies will almost certainly result in the deaths of potentially millions of victims, people who could have been saved if they had only been told the truth about non-pharmaceutical treatments against infectious respiratory illnesses. It's absolutely criminal that when Western medicine professionals have literally nothing to offer for a deadly superbug, they simultaneously don't want people to have access to anything else that might work either. Their message? Go home and die, but don't dare take herbal medicine because that might be dangerous. In conclusion, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't use Western medicine in a pandemic, by the way. My advice is to use every tool you can find. Western medicine, Eastern medicine, herbal medicine, nutritional therapies, sunlight therapies, etc. Only a fool limits his options to one single system of medicine that offers zero solutions. Now, for years now, I was taught, and this is my own words, that how to reverse pneumonia, for instance,
in less than 24 hours in every single individual I've ever had to do it to. How to reverse serious viruses and flus, et cetera, in myself. When everybody else was taking all these antibiotics, I said, nonsense, I won't take those antibiotics. And I learned how to reverse it in less than 24 hours and kill off the viruses and the superbugs that were in my system by heating up the body. And I can teach people how to do these things, and they must learn and be prepared for what is coming to in this world, because let's face it, those scriptures that everyone is reading, it states in there something very simple: our people shall perish for lack of knowledge. Doesn't say for lack of faith, doesn't say for lack of reading the scriptures, and it doesn't say for lack of going to church. It says our people, that means our brothers and sisters, shall perish for lack of knowledge, which means they don't know medicine and they don't know law. I've studied medicine and law for many years now for one particular reason. I'm a two-legged that needs to protect himself and his loved ones. And y'all need to pay attention, everybody, and start learning how to protect yourself and your health and the law. And I'll be calling Reverend Pinckney later on today. I'll leave my number if anybody wants to get a hold of me. I'm helping many, many individuals, including from this show. And thank you, Roz, for your comments last week about what little bit I've been able to do for you. We need to do more for you. Edward is my name. And my number is 818-613-9206. Again, that's 818-613-9206. And if people don't think they need to stand up right now in Reverend Pinckney's situation, well, it's coming to you too, I got to tell you. And if you think that's a joke, just wait. I've been talking. Ken, on your show, put me in touch with a woman named Deborah and Lou. They own StopTheCrime.net out there at the Bundy Ranch. When I had some specific information about Harry Reid's associates that were indicted and had to plead guilty to felony charges of bribery in Harry Reid's campaigns, and they changed the regulations about the tortoise for this particular man. Harry Reid had it changed so he can get the land that is questioned over the Bundy Ranch. And these same people asked me to do them a favor, and it'll be of tremendous interest to everybody on here. They wanted me to find out from particular people that have been chipped up with over 100 chips throughout their spine, their head, and their rectum. And if you think that only some people are going to have these chips, let me tell you something. Those nanoparticles that they're going to put into everybody, everybody's going to end up with one form of chip or another. And they asked me, since I didn't know anything about, and I had never heard of anybody having 100 chips in them before, and I told them anytime I don't know anything, I make phone calls and try to find out the solutions. So I've set up a meeting with these people from StopTheCrime.net, with certain brilliant men that are much older than I am, and they're going to be educating them in person, nothing over the phones. They're all going to meet in person in very restricted places where nobody can listen in, and a lot of information is going to be shared that is not mainstreaming. Almost nobody knows about it, and I think that we're going to come up with solutions. And in case anybody doesn't know, it's all about solutions. There are so many challenges that you call problems. They're just challenges. There are solutions for everything, and they're all simple. The problem is you're too emotional, everyone. We get too emotional, and we can't see the solutions. So we get caught up in the problems that aren't real problems. There's no such thing as problems, my mentor told me 40 years ago. As soon as you find the solution, the problem disappears like it never existed. And there are solutions for everything, including Reverend Pinckney's situation. And thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you, Edward, so much for your lovely comments.
you're doing.
Okay, our next caller on the line, I would like to put on is, hello, caller. How are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello? Guess that's a bad line. Hello, caller. Hi, how are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Sister Hattie Bonds out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I have been keeping up with some of the work that your father has been doing over the last few months. And the one of the previous callers, he talked about how everyone is under siege. It certainly is not just about black and white, but we know that we're always the ones, being African-American, that are sieged at greater alarming weights. We're always the first one when there is some abuse to take place. And so that being said, I experienced something similar to Reverend Pinckney, harassment and from the police, and I call it stalking. Everywhere you go, there they are, tired, teacher, principal, associate, superintendent. But my issue is that the community just is not.
As another caller said, and when you have people that do want to get more freedom, another caller talks about having
the ideas of...
Hello, Hattie?
And that's
Hello.
Starting to be that... Oh, did I lose you?
Yeah, your phone keeps going in and out sometimes.
Well, that's been
one
of my problems, too, here with this, so I'll make it shorter. Yeah, it goes in and out. Poor communication, computer work, can't get on anything good. But I would wrap it up by saying that in terms of what this country and this culture is going through, I think the author of this book, his name is Matt, and it's, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, T-A-I-B-B-I, Griftopia. And he talks about a story of bankers, politicians, and the most audacious power grab in American history. And that is what we're talking about here, a power grab, a way to exploit people. And like the other gentleman said, ultimately all of them will suffer, even the ones who believe that they're part of the club. They will ultimately become... There are a lot of systems put into place for African Americans